Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Well, hello and welcome to Food for Thought, a podcast gabfest where in a multiracial mix of queer writers gather around the table to talk about sex, identity, culture, what we like to read, and who we like to read. Food for Thought. You won't break my hole. You won't break my hole. You won't break my hole.
Oh my God, too
this
soon.
This sounds like the perfect time to bring back up the time. Wait, what was the J-Lo line that you said?
It was, let's get plowed, but I said, let's get porked. And it should have been let's get plowed.
You said
it
should have been let's get.
Yeah,
let's
yeah.
Get it
let's get plowed is right there. And I'm a poet. Words are my thing. I can't believe I fucked that one up. And I'm still embarrassed.
I'm still embarrassed years later. Sorry I brought that up. Thank you for the you won't break my whole moment. In any case, that was good.
What up, thotties? So, you know, this week is going to be a little bit different. You know, Joe's got a thing, Fran's got a thing, Den's got a thing. So we're just going to be super cash this week. I'm in the studio with producers Alex and Kenya, and we're just going to be talking about summer. So, you know what I'm talking about? I'm Tommy Teebs Pico. I am a poet, podcaster, TV writer, and I'm enjoying the rays of the sun today.
Yes. Yes, Teebs. I'm producer Alex. I'm a podcaster, the mother of the thoughts, cat mother, and I'm constantly on mushroom tea.
Mm. Wow. Really interesting. Yeah. I think mine goes really good with yours. Okay. I am Kenya Denise, wife of Alex, head intern of Food for Thought, and Black people are doing ketamine. I will say that. They're okay. Really doing ketamine. Juneteenth was very lit, and it was full of ketamine.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've been hearing ambiently, though, like, K is back in the headlines. Like,
oh, it's back.
I just remember, like, it was a sort of, like, mid-90s sort of taboo party drug.
Right.
And so what's behind the resurgence? Do the girls know?
Well, there's, like, multiple things. So, one, I'm also a psychedelic researcher. So,
yes,
ketamine, ketamine is actually doing really good for psychedelic research and helping people with PTSD and really bad depression and anxiety that SSRIs and other meds aren't helping. Also, people are doing a lot of ketamine therapy. So I think it's becoming more legitimized in the Western medical space. And it's also just like coming back with that resurgence, just coming back into nightlife. But it's not like a dirty drug anymore. I feel like the music fits the vibe. Like everyone is kind of dissociating a little bit. And I think it has to do with the fact that the world has been so ridiculous recently. There's a lot of darkness. And I think people kind of just want to dissociate.
Yeah.
And that is something that helps you dissociate. So I think that's part of it.
I think it's weird because I feel like there was a period of my life between maybe 15 and 20 when I would have tried anything you put in front of me.
Right.
But I didn't get anything. So subsequently, I haven't tried any drugs besides weed. And like, I'm too old for new drugs. You know, it's like the No Country for Old Men, except I'm too old for new drugs. That's
no,
for
you're
me.
Not.
I mean, that's definitely real. I also feel like
that is real, though.
Just from your personality and everything, I don't know if you'd love it. Like, I did it and I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it. Like, I'm definitely a weed mushroom girly.
Mm-hmm.
But I see why other people really, really love it. Like, I feel like it's something that people really love, or they're just like, eh.
Yeah.
But the good thing is there's really no bad come down or like feeling crazy the next day like cocaine and Molly will do. So,
but it's definitely top of mind here in Brooklyn for everybody. Like, I feel like it's ketamine is very prevalent.
There was actually a moment in the club because like it was a Juneteenth moment. So they kept stopping the music every 5 seconds and being like, it's Juneteenth. And then, like, overlapped on, like, a weird wavy disco track, there was, like, another track where someone was just going, ketamine, ketamine, just like, and I was just like, wait, is this being put into the music on Juneteenth? But I just had to go with it. I was like, listen, ancestors, wildest dreams, I'm free. Let me be out here.
I just need to reference, because I told you this right before we hit record, but our cat Soul is in an interspecies relationship with the squirrel outside the window, and the squirrel is back. And so Soul and this squirrel are just like having an extremely intense friendship and bond. It's really beautiful.
There's a
They're
lot
making
of tension.
Eye contact.
It sounds like a summer fling. And on that subject, it
fling.
Is. We are recording this on, what is it, the 21st, which is the longest day of the year, the summer solstice, the official start of summer. So I thought this week we would just talk about summer. What does it mean to you? What does it mean in the different climates you've lived in? I mean, summer in Los Angeles for me is way different than summer in New York. I mean, it has its relative degree of insufferable heat, but unlike New York, LA is pretty much sunny all the time. And so I feel like summer is a payday in the Northeast. You know what I'm talking about? So just curious, like starting from early on, do you remember summer vacations from school? Didn't they used to seem like forever? Like summer seemed like it was forever. And now it's just like the blink of an eye.
It was so good. I do remember that. There was also something about summer vacation, which was the end of a school year, where you might have this as a TV writer, Teebs, where things were over. Like it was like the year was over and there was nothing to worry about. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like until the next year. And it's very much now, I think for me, it feels like with work and with jobs, there's very much not that moment of like everything is done right now and you don't have to give a fuck about anything. So like I really miss that moment of summer vacation. You know what I mean? When like when school's out, you look for the bell and it rings and then that's it. And like you said, it felt like it was forever.
Yeah. And I think too, there's like some feeling of this completion, something completed.
Yes,
I always felt the same way after church on Sunday, because I was like, I have like a week before I have to go to church again.
Right.
Exactly. Yes, yes, yes.
No. Yeah. It really felt like being let free. I remember there was like a weird feeling that I don't get in adulthood and I haven't gotten for a very long time. It's that feeling where it's like 1 hour until summer and everyone's just sitting down looking crazy. Everyone's looking at the clock. Like, I'm just like, why are the teachers even talking? It's over. I've completely checked out.
Right.
And I mean, I think it was partly inspired by the movies, but like I was that dramatic kid that when summer was happening, I ran out, I ripped up papers, I jumped on the desk. So I definitely felt so excited, that freedom. I feel like I always had like a lot of stuff planned in the summer, but it was it was fun to be like, yeah, the full completion of that year. Like I never have to think about, you know, whatever, third grade or whatever again. You know, now I'm moving on to fourth grade.
Yeah.
So I really did love that, and just having like that huge time off. I mean, I appreciated it then, but like, wow, do I appreciate it now? Because as an adult, I feel like life is just ongoing.
Right.
Unless
mm-hmm.
you're like a teacher, really, your work and life doesn't ever stop for a minute. And there was just like, there was just less worries back then, you know? It was just the 90s. Chiller place.
Yeah, I mean, also, I like that what you just described, I remember so acutely, that feeling of exuberance, of overwhelming, like, it's about, like, I mean, the you know, like, when you think about it, like, that song, School's Out for Summer, that burst of, like, joy and, like, letting go and propelling forward. And, you know, it's going to be all about the beach and all about the pools and all about the whatevers. I'm curious, does summer mean anything to you now?
I mean, also, the beginning, today is the summer solstice, is also the beginning of Cancer season. I'm a Cancer, and I do think that Cancers as a sign just generally are known for, it's a water sign. So it's like, you know, for me, if I'm not in the water in the summer, I'm in crisis. You know, like it's like, I think our friend Juju, who's also a podcaster, shout out A Little Juju Podcast. She tweeted the other day, like, is it just me or do people just go completely like lose their minds if they're not in a body of water for a certain period of time? And that's exactly how I feel. Like if I'm not in the ocean or in the water, even a pool will do. But if several weeks go by without that happening, like it has right now, like I'll start to, I need to get to the beach. You know what I mean? And so for me, my family lives near a beach, so I make plans all summer. You've been to my family's house at the beach. We were doing poppers with my dad. Like, all kinds of things were happening. You know?
I just want to bring up my favorite memory of Donald.
Please.
Alex
DePalma's. Shout out Donald. Yeah.
Father, when we were I think we were drunk and high and we were smoking inside your house and your dad was talking about Martha's Vineyard and he said, and there's a place in Martha's Vineyard called Gay Head. And he said, Gay Head is so beautiful. And I was like, yes, Dom, Gay Head is so beautiful.
We laughed till we fucking cried. And he still laughs about Gay Head. It's like gay. He always says Gay Head really is beautiful.
Yeah. So I think summer really marks for me the end of the cold. And that's mostly what it's about. Like, I'm like anti-cold. Cold is sadness. It's not cool for me. So I love being like hot and sweaty in the sun.
Can you hold the thermostat at 85 inside the house?
Because I have to. So it's more that relief, like, damn, I'm not about to freeze anymore. But I also like summer because I associate it with, like, still seeing more friends, going out. I love, like, little day trips. I like being in nature, seeing flowers. We actually went to Governor's Island. It was so cute. Yeah. They had a lavender festival. It was just, like, was rows incredible. Of lavender. We were picking. Some white lady yelled at me, but fuck that bitch.
Wow.
But so, like, little trips like that. We've just been doing so many cute things, going on the ferry. So I just feel like it's excitement, friends coming together, and also pride is happening. So I feel like it seems like there's a lot in the air. But then it gets a little too wild. You know, in New York where it gets hot and you're like, it went too hot. You know, it's like people going crazy. It's a lot. The city is sweating.
Oh yes. And we, in fact, experienced this together, I believe, during a pride party at Joe's place years ago that turned into utter chaos. It turned into Event Horizon. It was utter chaos. There was puke. There was blood. There was semen. There was fucking. People fell out, literally fell out and had to run away because they were embarrassed. Like, it was, people was fucked. I remember I took the train back. And I remember I was like, my hand was on the rail and I was going back and forth and I was just sweating. And I was like, I am fucked up and the sun is still out.
It's like, still out. Yeah. Why did we start that at like noon? Yeah.
I love those moments though. But there is a certain level of chaos that I think the heat brings.
Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which is like for better or worse.
Well, there is a vibe. I will say this about New York. There is a vibe that happens maybe around end of July, August, right? Where it's been hot for a few months and that initial exuberance is over and people are just baked.
Yeah,
they are just dusted and crazy.
Dusted,
Where like the rivers of garbage, you know what I mean? Kind of, and then you just be in the subway just wet. You know, like waiting for the train and it's a disrespectful 90 degrees and the heat, the humidity is at 100% and you're just like breathing water.
Yeah. Ugh. It happened to me last night. Do you know when you walk and it was the first time that it happened of the season, but now it's like once it happens, it's going to happen all the time where you're walking and like the crease of your ass, you're like just sweating from the crease of your ass and it's just like dripping down your leg and it's just like, damn. But you're right. Now we have like 3 more months of that. So
just like wet from all the creases.
Right.
And all the nooks and crannies.
All the nooks and crannies. So that's what summer means to me. Teebs, what does summer mean to you?
Well, it's weird because I was thinking about this like almost philosophically because I was talking to a friend last night about, I mean, I had a gummy. So we were talking about the universe.
Period. Love and wind.
And I was thinking about this idea that I had written about in my third book, Junk, because it's a winter poem. Mm-hmm. And I was just like thinking a lot about how in the vast expanse of the universe, heat is actually the rarest resource in the universe. Mm-hmm. Because most of the universe is cold. And dark and isolated. And so to be bodies that generate heat is actually a kind of miracle. You know what I mean? Like we are heat generators in a vastly cold universe. And so I was thinking about going to, when I would go to Seattle or Portland, the Pacific Northwest, my experience of those places when I first went there was only in the summertime, going to Tin House, you know, going to, you know, see friends in Seattle, where it's like, I understood the concept of sun worship. Because in places like that, where it's mostly gloomy and cloudy, and like if you live in the Pacific Northwest and then you have a 9-to-5 in the winter, you never see the sun because the sun comes up after you're at work and it goes down before you get out. So like that is a profoundly cold sensibility, even if it's not as cold as maybe we get in Chicago or the Northeast, the sensibility is cold. And I always felt like one of the main ires I have with the winter in the Northeast is that the sun actually does come out. It just has no heat. You know what
right.
I mean? And I always felt like coming from Southern California to see the light but feel no heat was just like it was like getting butt fuck with steel wool. I was like, what is going on right now?
No.
Why did I just feel that?
How did you think of that? How did you think of that?
Oh my God.
I was going for the foulest imagery imaginable.
Oh my God. You're a poet.
Because it is such a letdown. And then to go to the Pacific Northwest and to just be around, because like my experience there going in the summertime, I actually went in February and I was like, wait a minute, this place is different.
Oh, remember is that when we were together?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I was depressed Portland. After 4 days. I was
yeah, and
like,
you guys had a
depressed.
Whole vacation planned. Like you were gonna yeah, stay right. in Portland, and it was like, no, nah, this isn't summer Portland. This isn't Tin House Portland.
Yeah,
this isn't,
it was
you know, this
different.
Is winter Portland. Yeah,
it was cold rain, and this reminds because I lived in Minnesota when I was working public radio, and in Minnesota it was very much that where it was like 9 months were completely practically unlivable with cold, but 3 months were incredible, and there were lakes, and like I just remember the first summer I was there seeing. People would gather around the lake and just stare into the sun. Like, just stand there and stare up into the sun. And I was like, what the fuck are these people doing? But then I realized, like, that's... I guess they're just, like, storing up for the coming month.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Months or something. It made, like, after living there for 2 years, that kind of made sense in a way. But, yeah.
I remember going to visit Roy one time in Portland when he lived there. And this was maybe 2011, and Roy had just moved to Portland. And when I got there, it was, like, September. What I didn't realize is I got there on the last sunny day. And so, like, it was this weird mood because we were going through, we, like, visited some of his friends. We went to, like, a cafe where his friends were pastry chefs.
Yeah.
So they were just, like, giving us tons of pastries and shit. I was like, this is fucking amazing. And they were,
heaven.
Like, it was almost like their last hurrah. There was this, like, feeling of, like, well, we're about to go back under for, like, 8 months. And I didn't get it because I was, like... It was like the opposite of the last day of school.
Right.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
That's so sad. I hate that feeling.
Tragic. Yeah.
Yeah. Where it's like you're getting ready to buckle down. And that feeling was just so profoundly like, I don't know. It was like sort of, you know, Fat Tuesday or something, like right before the fast. You know what I mean? And it was a different kind. It was like a sad exuberance.
Yeah.
You know, it was like this melancholy that was with a smile on it that I just, like, I did not get. So the Pacific Northwest really fucked me up in that sense. Curious now that we can't speak of summer without talking about summer jams. You know, like the song of summer. The song of summer is so important, I think, in setting the tone for summer. Can you, off the top of your head, I know this is unprompted, but off the top of your head, can you remember any summer jams?
So easily, I think the first one I think of is that song Jamie XX with Popcorn and Young Thug. That was, what was it called? Good times. Like that is, I think since that came out in like 2015 will always be my song of summer. I don't know what it is about that
song. I mean,
song.
I feel like there's a few, and I feel like especially in New York as an adult, there's a few where it's just like, there was a moment where there'd be one song coming out of every single car. And there are a few ones I distinctly remember. Yes. I remember Trap Queen in 2015. I was like, I will never hear another song again. Trap Queen, at any given moment, like day or night, no matter how far I was out of the city, that would be playing. I also remember Cardi B's I Like It and Bad Bunny. That one, I love that song so much. And that was definitely a song of the summer moment in New York. And I just
Pop Smoke.
Pop Smoke, Welcome to the Party. Hot Girl Summer was a big one. I mean, I just really love when there's that kind of one song that everyone's like, we vibe to this song. We listen to it collectively.
Yes.
And I think Cardi's had two in a, I think like there was that one summer of I Like It Like That, but then the summer before that was Bodak Yellow.
Which was huge.
That was the one when I was so proud of New York because like that song would come on, like somebody would just have it blaring in the subway stop and everyone started dancing. Everyone's ass was against up in the air. You know what I mean? Like, and it was like, I remember seeing videos and it was just filled me with so much joy when it'd be like New Yorkers be like, and then it was like somebody just started the track and everyone was like in a trance.
I remember
like,
that too.
I love it so much. It was like human. We can all be human together. It gave me hope, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For sure. I mean, overstepping too much and overstating rather, at the song of the summer. I mean, there's Beyonce at Midnight released the song of the summer on the summer solstice.
That was
day,
next level.
On the longest day of the year. And she was saying, girlies,
did that.
You're going to be voguing to this.
Beyonce is just so smart. This drop, because the way that she fucked the whole industry up with the digital drop, and then she said, actually, I'm not going to do that anymore. Yeah. I'm going to do the regular rollout. Yeah. It's gagging me because I feel like we are in a time where like everyone's trying to go back to a different time, a different era, how things used to be. Beyonce understood the assignment.
Well, we were also saying we're so used to, I don't know how you felt about this, Teebs, but we're so used to, especially because Beyonce started this, hearing the single for the first time along with the video. And there's something really nice about just hearing the music. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, don't get me wrong, I cannot fucking wait for the visuals.
Yes.
But like just hearing the song and experiencing it kind of like in your own imagination, you know what I mean? Like there's something about it that I love.
Now I'm lusting for the visuals even more because I have my own idea of what they could be.
Exactly.
I woke up different today. Because here's the thing. I've been feeling, I mean, just after the past 2 years and fascism, global fascism and racial unrest and fucking guns everywhere. Ugh. I have been feeling so underwater, so depressed. Right. And I woke up to You Won't Break My Soul. And I was like, you know what? You won't.
Right.
You won't. Period. You won't. I felt so resolute. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I woke up with a smile on my face. Aww. It was like blaring from every fucking, from my Roku as I was like sweeping the floor. I was just like, it's a new day. Yeah. It's a new day. It is a new day. Beyonce hath said, you won't break my soul. And you know what, bitch? You will not. You will not break my soul. Zoloft, you are hitting right, but Beyonce is an antidepressant, okay?
Zoloft plus Beyonce, I mean, you're fucking unstoppable right now, Tubes. I can't. I mean, it's true. I have not played a single song except for that song today, and probably not for a really long time. I mean, you were saying last night that you felt that it was a little on the nose, the messaging.
Well, so, I mean, okay. Oh, art is so interesting.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's kind of like, you know, Drake tried to drop a dance album. And I can't say much about that. I'm not saying good or bad. I'm just saying that Drake did so. But there is a thing where from Beyonce, I do kind of expect like these like big critiques, big lyricism and everything. So at first I was like, damn, she's just saying release your job. You won't break my soul. But then when I really thought about it, like Beyonce is giving us that house era. And like they weren't really telling full stories. And you know, it is just like a repetitive thing that's positive that you can say over and over again in the club. And like, so Beyonce just, I feel like, was staying really true to the genre and the era that she's trying to recreate, this Renaissance.
Right.
So in the end, like, I understand why she did it. It just, at first, I was just like, where is the deep commentary? Where is the beautiful lyricism? But I just had to, you know, think about it within myself, ruminate.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it.
I did too. My interpretation was more like, you know, when people talk about the Great Resignation and people quitting their jobs, you know, you have this sort of Kim Kardashian critique, which is like, get up off your ass and work. And which is like, it's hiding the larger discrepancy that people notice, which is, you know, before the pandemic, people, you know, you work your minimum wage job because at the end of the day, you got to go out with your friends. Or on the weekend, you went dancing. You got to do something with your life. Then the pandemic hit, everything shut down, and people were like, wait a minute, I'm working this shitty job to do what? To sit around and do nothing? And I have no insurance. I don't have a union. Like, I could be fired at any time. That was the idea. And that, I feel like Beyonce was saying, you know what? Fuck it. Like, this, like, I think she was speaking truth to the Great Resignation, which is, it's not about people not wanting to work. It's about people not wanting to work to destroy their soul. You know what I mean? And what she's saying, you won't break my soul, give up your job. You know, it's like that thing about, like, until you get respect and respect in a capitalist society means a livable wage, fucking party.
I mean, and I stand by that 100%. Like, I stand by that message so strongly. And I know a lot of people, like, Beyonce didn't invent. There are a lot of white people that are going too far. They're like, Beyonce invented quitting your job, invented resigning. And I'm like, no, it's been happening for a minute. That's why it's called the Great Resignation. But I do appreciate, there are some people I feel like, you know, didn't think about it yet. And, you know, Beyonce has people thinking. Beyonce has people thinking in the very least. And that is very important. If you need, you know, a pop star to make you think about your life and, like, your time and being abused and, you know, standing up for yourself, that I think it's a very important message. And if it's simple, it's simple. It doesn't matter. It's still important and it's changing people's lives.
I mean, we have just so many friends. Like, mm-hmm. I can think, it would be hard for me to think of a friend who isn't in a situation where they have either just quit their job or are seriously considering quitting their job. Right. And, like, mm-hmm. so many friends who had, like, stable jobs in media, not even, like, stable jobs in media, who are the type of people who would only quit if they have something else lined up. You know what I mean? I'm seeing so many people who are self-proclaimed that type of person where they're like, I would never even dream of quitting my job without having the next thing lined up. And they, like, in the past only month, a lot of them are like, fuck this shit. You know what I mean? Like, the microaggressions, everything that you're talking about, it really has just gotten to be too much. And so I do think that this message, I mean, even though it's basic for people in the sense of, like, you can quit your job, I think it came at the right time, and I think it's what people actually really need, you know?
Yeah, and, like, I think Beyonce is, what she doesn't get enough credit for is the message. I think because it's wrapped in pop, you know? So, like, I remember when Formation came out, you know, like, it was like, get information, but then the girls were like, wait a minute, get information. And, you know, and then she has, like, the dancers in the pool, in the empty pool, you know, as a comment on blackness and swimming, or, like, watching the cop car be submerged in New Orleans. It's just like, I feel like it's not only, I mean, I guess I am looking forward to the visuals, but I get what you're saying, Alex. I loved being able to form my own interpretation of this, because the party moment is different, is idiosyncratic.
Yeah.
You
know
what I mean? Finding the beat inside of yourself, allowing the song to wash over you, allowing the message to wash over you. And because it's weird, because, like, people still are isolated. Coronavirus didn't go anywhere.
Right.
And so, to a certain extent, for the past 2 years, we've been used to having to interpret and get into things on our own, in our own physical body, without, like, the commune of the party or whatever. And I feel like there's this first wave of, like, feel it in your body, get ready for it, and then the visual is going to come out, and we're all going to do it together.
Right. Yeah. Also, her rapping. I loved her rapping moment. That was fire.
I love that she tries new things. Like, the thing about Beyonce is, like, I just get so excited when Beyonce is about to drop, because it's always something different. Yeah. Like, of course, mm-hmm. right now and in such a dark time, she's going full house bounce.
Yes.
Like, mm-hmm. like, I'm just like, yes. And using her vocals in a different way, using her rap in a different way. Like, she's rapped before. I love her as a rapper.
Yeah.
But she's rapping in a different way. And so I love that just experimentation.
Yeah.
And it's just, I think the girlies just needed a beat. We needed a beat to just doom, doom, doom. So you know, getting through this world, getting through every day. Like, just put it in your earphones and just bop around.
And
you
remember
know?
There was that hint because the Vogue photos dropped. And then the interview with Edward Enfield, who's the, I think, editor-in-chief of British Vogue. Yeah. And Edward Enfield is like an older gay. And he was like, there was one screen cap of the paragraph where it was like, because he got to listen to the album. And he was like, the second I heard the music and it washed over me, I was taken back to like the dance floors of my youth and like my young days in the club. And I was like, oh my God, what is this about to be? It has exceeded my wildest dreams that this is the sound. And I fucking hope the whole album sounds like this.
I think it will.
Yeah.
And if you think about the origins of house, you know, house as being in ball culture.
Yeah.
Yes. Like,
and what was ball culture but a refuge, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
From in an outside, inside from an outside inhospitable, largely inhospitable world, you know?
Right.
And you think about like terms like carry or eight or whatever, like it just, there's such a, I think there's such a rich layer of metaphor there about safety and danger and about exuberance and because like of having to maybe be a little bit more conservative when you're outside of your sanctuary, when you're outside of the house, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's not lost on me that it's called house, you know, house is a home. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like it is the place where you feel safe, you know, the place where you go to, you can be your most, you know, because you get that feeling about like trying to like you guys were texting like are people going crazy because you were getting shouted at.
Right.
You know, this is a reminder that the world is not hospitable.
No, it's not for the girls.
And so I did feel like this extension of a kind of like a safety in a fun, but not. It's not disembodied. It's not fun for the sake of fun. It's fun with a message, you know. But it's like be aware, and let go.
Yeah, I can't wait to go listen to it more.
I know. I'm
she
like
did
I
that
get,
shit.
So I also just want to say that there is a great meme that I saw today on the Saint Hoax Instagram, and it takes a bit from Legendary Season 1, the cape snatching moment, and it's like Drake tries to release something, and then it was like Beyonce releases something, and she pulls the cape. It's so good.
I love it.
I don't do it justice in talking about it, obviously, but like please go on Saint Hoax Instagram and take a look at it. It's everything.
Okay. I'm gonna go check it out. Thank you for prompting that conversation, Tease. That was so fun.
That was actually really fun and lighthearted.
I know.
And kind of deep too.
Right.
This episode of Food for Thought is made possible by the generous, unequivocal support of Rosé and our home at Stitcher. Our producer is Alexandra DePalma. Subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes. My name is Tommy Teebs Pico. You can find me at Hey Teebs, HEYTEEBS on Instagram because I deleted Twitter.
My name is Alexandra DePalma. You can find me on all social media platforms at LSDPalma.
My name is Kenya Denise. You can find me on IG at Kenya Diggit, KENYA _DIGG_IT.
You can find us on Instagram as Gay Sluts Who Read and join us on Facebook and Twitter at Food for Thought Pod. And finally, send your questions, thoughts, concerns, and dick pics.
Woo!
To thoughts at foodforthoughtpodcast.com. As always, that's food, the number 4, and thoughts spelled how?
THOT.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.